So we are in our week three of Rejected Like David, and I trust that God is speaking to you about issues of rejection in your own life. And I just want to let you know that when you talk about this stuff, you go through it. So don't ever think that just because a preacher preaches that he's got it and that it's on lock and that he's already overcome it. That is not the case. He is just as much in process as the people he leads. Leaders are just as much in process as the people. As a matter of fact, they go before and take the shots. So when you're believing God for more and you're believing God for greater and asking God to bless you, just be prepared that you're going to go before those that you lead. And I don't care if it's in your home and your places of influence on your jobs, that you're going to get hit first because the enemy comes at that. Leaders lead, but they also get attacked heavy. So leadership, everyone has leadership qualities and there's tendencies everybody has, but in God's timing, God will place you in positions of leadership and give you the platform that you need. You don't want to be there when the timing is not right. So no matter how much you clamor for it, that's why people who like do things that are deceitful behind the scenes in order to get in those positions don't last long, because they don't have the character to hold what the position entails. When you humble yourself before him, the Bible says in due time, God will raise you up. Because when God does it, he'll raise you up and you'll have not only the giftings, but you'll have the character to be able to hold where God is taking you. If you can't hold it, why would God give it to you? This doesn't make any sense. Does God have common sense? Yes, he does. He does have common sense. Oftentimes we're talking to God and we believe in God and we need to have faith, and that's why it pleases God. But God will speak to you on normal terms so that you can relate. You know, God knows what you like and what you like to eat. God knows what smells you like. God knows what tendencies you have. God knows how to relate to you. He knows how to relate. And the one thing I love about God is that God gets in it with you. And if he created you and he understands you, then he knows you. You can trust him more with your life and how you think your life should go. God knows you specifically and intimately. That's why David wrote in the book of Psalm 139, "You formed me in my mother's womb. When my frame was hidden, you knit me together." You're talking about a God who saw feet before there was feet. I want you to think about that the next time you get discouraged about how you look or discouraged about how your life is supposed to be. I want you to think about a God who already saw it before it happened, who already saw your sin but made provision for it and said, "I'm going," because you're going to need redemption. You need to understand something about God that the world does not see. God has already seen your dysfunction, and also God already sees you in victory. He already sees you in both frames. So he sees you when you're born, and he also sees when your death day is coming. And God sees everything in between. So he sees what you're struggling with, but he also sees your victory. That's why he says, "One more round, keep going. God's not interested in you failing continually in your life. He's not interested in your continual failure. "I just want to see him fail." That's not God. God wants to see you succeed, but it doesn't mean you don't fail or fall short along the way to success. It doesn't mean that there's not a learning curve and a process. You're going to have to wipe some stuff off, dry some tears, and keep moving. In order, if you're going to feel some weight of success in your life, it doesn't just come to you. You got to grow up into it. You don't look the way you want to look by pressing a button, and all of a sudden, here you are. It doesn't work that way. You got to put some effort in. You got to put some sweat equity in if you're going to see some change. It doesn't just, "I'm fat." You got to start watching what you eat and work out. "I'm going to buy what they have online now." It's those pants that you pull up and it tucks all the fat in so you can't see it. The problem is when we're intimate and you take it off, I can see it. You got to deal with it before we get there. I'm sorry. You can't play around with that stuff. So that's why when I'm going off on a tangent, but you got to watch out. When you get around people, you ought to be looking at them. Okay, that's real. That ain't. So you got to figure it out. You got to figure it out. And so God wants to bring you into realms of success, but you don't get there without falling short. You just don't get there. God just doesn't, you know, it's like when you were growing up we never got the whole participant trophy thing. It bothers me when everybody gets a trophy for playing. You're in fifth place. Everyone gets one. Thanks for showing up. Winners get the prize. It's the same way in the kingdom, guys. God wants to see you put in some work. I'm not talking about salvation. That's different. That's grace. That's undeserved. I'm talking about the stuff that God wants to bring into your life. Oftentimes, God will look and say, I want you to work for that thing. Work for that. I want you to understand how it feels to overcome something in the middle of the struggle, because you'll appreciate it more, little James. I'm not interested in just giving you something and then you forgetting who I am for 20 years, and then when you're in trouble again, you call back on me. I want you to understand something about me in the struggle that I built in you in the struggle, so that when you get over, you know who to praise. It's not just about you got it. No, you know who gave it to you. You learned some stuff about me, and there's something about someone who struggles and gets over it, stays close to Jesus, because I know what he did when everyone else left. I know that he held me together. I know what he did. I know what he built. There's no one else I can praise but Jesus. No one else. You can go. There's no one else I can praise. He kept me together. So enough. Enough of just, oh, I just got it. You don't just got it. You got to get it. It's the reason why the Bible says from faith to faith, the goalposts keep changing. The end zones keep changing. It's one thing I realized in my relationship with God. It's every time I score, the field gets longer. Man, I got victory. All of a sudden, there's a whole new field now I got to go up against. It's another level. That's how it works. Son, you graduated. Here's the next field. 1 Samuel chapter 18 says, after David had finished talking with Saul, he met Jonathan, the king's son. There was an immediate bond between them, for Jonathan loved David. From that day on, Saul kept David with him and wouldn't let him return home. And Jonathan made a solemn pact with David because he loved him as he loved himself. This was not a homosexual relationship. This was intimacy between two men who love one another in a godly way. Because I'm prefacing that so when you see this, your mind doesn't go, mm-hmm. Jonathan sealed the pact by taking off his robe and giving it to David together with his tunic, sword, bow, and belt. Whatever Saul asked David to do, David did it successfully. So Saul made him a commander over the men of war, an appointment that was welcomed by the people and Saul's officers alike. And when the victorious Israelite army was returning home after David had killed the Philistine, women from all the towns of Israel came out to meet King Saul. They sang and danced for joy with tambourines and cymbals. This was their song. Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. It turns. This made Saul very angry. What's this? He said, they credit David with 10,000s and me with only thousands. Next, they'll be making him their king. So from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. And verse 10, the very next day, a tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul. And he began to rave in his house like a madman. David was playing the harp as he did each day, but Saul had a spear in his hand, verse 11, and he suddenly hurled it at David, intending to pin him to the wall. But David escaped him twice. Verse 12, Saul was then afraid of David, for the Lord was with David and had turned away from Saul. Finally, Saul sent him away and appointed him commander over 1,000 men. I want you to get what's happening here. And David faithfully led his troops into battle. David continued to succeed in everything he did, for the Lord was with him. When Saul recognized this, again, he became even more afraid of him. Verse 16, but all Israel and Judah loved David because he was so successful at leading his troops into battle. Week 3, envied. We're not talking about a boy who was unsuccessful. We're talking about a boy who's very successful. He just defeated Goliath. David was already anointed king. The anointing for Saul to be king had already left. So much so that a tormenting spirit, you don't think God can send something to torment? He can. And it just so happened that David played the harp, and David was brought in to play the harp. So every time that Saul was tormented, he calmed down. What do you do when your successor is brought in to help soothe you because God has basically rejected you as being king. Success is not without enemies. If you are looking for some sort of success without opposition, you're looking in the wrong place. Success is wonderful, and we all want success, but you have to understand something about success. It brings out the best in enemies. People you don't even think you knew who were an enemy, all of a sudden they become an enemy. So what do you believe in God for, and are you prepared for the success that comes with it? Because the one thing I do know about Jesus is that if Jesus is with you, it's not going to go well all the time for you. Matter of fact, it becomes very hard sometimes to follow Jesus when you're obedient because of what it requires. And I was talking to someone today about this, and I began to get a picture. Anytime you start to walk with Jesus and talk with Jesus and follow Jesus, there's a separation. It happens in homes, happens in jobs, happens in churches. The people who used to run with you can't run with anymore because Jesus is calling you to another place. You've graduated from that season, and all of a sudden they're wondering why you're not hanging out anymore. It's because, man, I put away childish things. I got to go somewhere. It requires something of you. Success also costs you something. Costs you something. You don't think that David's success costs him his comfort? You don't think that it cost him, he had to leave his family? And he was brought before King Saul, not only so that he could help Saul, but God was training him so that he could become king. On the job training, OJT. You know what that is, right? That's what God does with you. It's OJT. OJT. It's not, well, Lord, I'm going to learn it over here in private. So that, no, you're going to be OJT. That means you're going to be sitting on your computer at work crying. And you don't know why you're crying. Because God's doing a work inside of you, and you're struggling through stuff as God's building you as you're doing it. That's how it works with God. That's how it works. You're going to be in your bed at midnight just worshiping God as a song comes in over and over and over and over again as God is just drilling it inside of you. Hey, listen, I'm just doing a work inside of you because tomorrow's coming and you're going to need this. And God, he's always, it's OJT. That's how it works. That's why he asked Peter to come out on the water. Jesus could have came in the boat and got in the boat. But it wasn't about that. It was about him getting out to where Jesus was. Where is Jesus in your life? He's out in the deep things. The deep things. It's not, Jesus is not in a kiddie pool. Jesus is out in the deep, and he calls his people to the deep things. That's why you see things being uncovered that have been hidden now. Because the Bible says deep calls unto deep. Jesus cannot let things go the way they are for too much longer. Because then he wouldn't be God. He has to expose. As a matter of fact, he's doing that in your life right now because he loves you. You might be able to hide it from other people, but Jesus said, no, I can't do that. I'm going to have to allow you to deal with this stuff because I love you too much. And all y'all know what that is specifically for you. I keep coming up against this thing, Rich. I don't know what it is. I know what it is. God's trying to get to the root of it. You keep banging your head up against the wall, and God said, I'm trying to break you free from this thing because it keeps stopping you from moving on to the next field. I know you see the field. I know you see the promised land, and it's there. I've given you a taste. But it's this one thing that we got to whip, and we're not whipping it. Have you ever lost something? Ever lost something? Is it fun? No. Anybody ever tells you, I love losing? It's one of the best feelings in the world. I love what it is. You couldn't pay me to lose. It's not in me to do that. There's something about winning that's contagious. I want to be on a winning team. I want to win. That's why you go through, a lot of times you go through more in your life when you have that attitude. Hey, if God's calling me to win, the enemy is going to try to test that in all different areas. So you're believing God for more. I'm going to win. I'm going to win in my marriage. All of a sudden, all hell's going to break loose. And you're going to be talking about, well, maybe we should just get a divorce. It's just not working. Well, hold on. Wait a minute. God wants me to win. I know God wants me to win. So all of a sudden, though, the temptation is, now we just throw in the towel because it's not working because it gets hard. But God wants you to work through that stuff so that you can win. Win. You don't win. He doesn't just give it to you. You got to stay in it. And as you stay in it and stay connected, all of a sudden you start to see, oh, we're rising over it because you made a commitment. We're winning because we're in it together. I don't like you right now. You don't like me, but we made a commitment. But all of a sudden, as we do that, God begins to get glorified. That's how we overcome. Great marriages don't just happen. You don't just get to the altar and they are a picture of beauty internally and you got it all together. There's stuff about them you don't even know yet. You're in it to win it. I don't get married because I want to lose. And God's not interested in you losing in some areas of your life. I don't serve a God like that. God wants me to win. I think it was a year and a half ago, 2 years. I was at my computer, at my table, and going through the normal fest stuff. And I felt like God said, I want you to win. You got to that point, and I was getting to that point in my life where I just felt like God said, I want you to win, son. All the stuff's happening because I want you to win. All the stuff you were hanging on to, the stuff that wasn't really working for you, it's not working because I want you to win. It wasn't working for you. But as you hook into me and as I teach you some things, I'm going to teach you how to win and how to do it effectively. Not just win, but overcome. Overcome. And so it's all that stuff. It's climbing, overcoming. It's committing, it's overcoming. It's being frustrated, but doing it anyway. It's crying, but doing it anyway. It's not knowing where to go, but it's walking. I want you to win. But maybe you don't have that spirit. Maybe you caught something growing up that wasn't profitable for you. I didn't come from a family like that. My family has other issues. They deal with stuff. But there was something. We were competitive, man. We were competitive. We wanted to win. And some of y'all laughing like, oh, I can see it. I can see it. God uses where you grew up and the DNA that he put inside of you for a reason. Not everybody does what you do. Come on, not everybody can handle your problems. There's something about you that God trusts that you can handle it because of the grace and the DNA that you have. I can handle certain things because of what God has placed inside of me. Other people cannot handle. It's because God has graced me. Thank you, Jesus. It's hard at times, but I can do it. And I know if you grace me to do it, I'm going to do it because you know, and I know you want me to win. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Not everybody can do it, but I'm going to do it. If you chose me to do it, I'm going to do it. What has God asked you to do? Sometimes you got to look back in the closet and go back and say, you know what? There's a reason why I am the way I am. Because people can't do it like I can do it. And you have to be able to talk to yourself and allow God to speak to you about your particular DNA. David was about to be king. But he wasn't about to be king 5 days from now. We're talking about years, years. If he didn't know that he was called, number one, he would have checked out. As a matter of fact, he almost did check out when he went to the cave of Adullam, trying to run from Saul and say, that's it, I'm done. And so God said, you're not done until I say you're done. And he started sending those that were in debt, those that were distressed, and those who are discontented with their life, all to him at his lowest moment and said, train them. There's something inside of you I put that's going to help them. No one else can do it but you. So I know you try to wiggle out of some stuff in your life, but God said, I put it inside of you to do it. Do it. You get these epiphanies in your life, right? People call them divine revelation. I got a divine revelation. It's an aha moment where you begin to say, you know what? That has been there my whole life. And it's what God has put there to help me deal with what I have to deal with. And when you see it, it changes your perspective to be able to handle it. There have been times, and maybe you've been in this walk long enough with the Lord, where you've asked the Lord to take something from you and all that stuff, and God denied your request. Or God dealt with you as an adult son or daughter like he should. And said, handle it. I love you. I love you enough to tell you the truth. There has not been a time in my life. There has been times where God has comforted me, but there has not been a time in my life where he has babied me. And he has, I'm sorry, there is not. And if whoever's preaching that gospel, fire them. There has not been a time in my life where the love of God has caused me to sin. and allow me to look outside the boundaries. It has brought me back to center and helped me reconnect to who I was and say, no, handle it. God is not in the business of distorting his truth for your comfort. Just because you don't like it doesn't mean that it's not true. God has been gracious, but there has always been the weight of truth that has brought me back to center. I've saved you. I've called you. Not because it was by anything you did, but it was because of my grace. I chose you. I'm going to help bring you back to center and get you doing what I've called you to do. And God will remind you about this stuff. It had nothing to do with how good you were, because you weren't good. No, you weren't. And God said, I'm going to bring you back to center, and I'm going to help you do what I called you to do. Even in the midst of doubting and seasons where you had no idea where you were going, God said, I still got you, and I'm going to still allow you to see my grace, even in the times where you could not see. And God, every once in a while, will just tell you, I still got you. No one can do it like you do it. Stop trying to get people to understand what you do. The more you do what God's called you to do, all of a sudden people start to chirp. Well, why don't you do it this way? Why don't you do it that way? I'm not doing it your way. I'm doing it my way. The armor that you want to put on me, it doesn't work. I'll tell you what does work for me. My tenacity. That's what works for me. How I learned in private how to do some stuff so that when I got in public, I can do it effectively. Remember, Dave, over the last couple, we've been talking about this. Go back and listen to the message. I learned some stuff that was necessary. That's what works for me. I do it like that. Don't try to control me. Controlling me does not work. I'll break out of that thing in about 4 seconds or less. It does not work. And as you begin to see back over your life and all how God has wired you, you begin to see, wait a minute, I wasn't called to fit in. So why try? You've seen the shows or some of these like live TV and reality shows. Some of you grew up in the 80s, 70s. Remember when they had the hook on stage? The gong show too? Or people are doing stuff too long and like it's time for you to get off the stage, okay? And they put the little hook out. Or to hit the gong and like, you're gone. Okay, you're done. Don't you know that God has got his hooks in you? That when God wants you to come out of something, you're going to come out of it. Some people ask me, well, what does it look like? You'll know. Why am I talking to you about this? Because it's important. Because I think God wanted me to remind you of your DNA today. I didn't create you to be passive. I didn't create you just to exist. I created you to affect change in this generation, in this time. So all that stuff that comes up against you, I'm allowing it. Because I know that you can handle it because of the way you're wired. And you know you can handle it. But you have to be reminded that my grace is sufficient for you. Therefore, Paul said, I'm going to glory in my suffering. Because when I'm weak, he's strong. You got it. He said, you got it. You have what you need to overcome. So David is, he's going up the success ladder. And they're all singing about him. David has slain his 10,000s. Immediately, Saul turns. It's not David's issue that David is successful. Saul's response tells a lot about who Saul is. And the rejection that he was feeling because he didn't do what God asked him to do. And we take God for granted today and we abuse his grace. Well, because God will never go back to the Old Testament God. Since when has it been that was the Old Testament God and this is the New Testament God? We'll never get back to that. Oh, okay. God just does it differently now. He puts you on display. And that's worse. Oh, you've been dealing with that for how many years? Now the whole world knows. Well, God doesn't see. He sees, extortion, embezzlement, adultery, murder. He's going to jail now. He ain't going to make it. You don't think God sees? He does it a little bit differently now. He still sees. Probing questions. Number one. Have you ever been jealous of someone's success? Most people in here would say yes if they're telling the truth. Because they thought it should have been them. Or why is it not me? Lord, why aren't you blessing me? Couple things. You don't know what they've been through to get where they're at. You don't know what it takes to keep them there. Don't throw spears at people when you don't understand their grace. God knows that you can't hack certain things. So God's not going to put you in a situation so that you can fail. God doesn't want you to fail. He won't put you in a position so that you are going to fail. It doesn't mean we're not going to fall short. But God is not going to put someone in a position that he has not graced them for. That's foolish. That's setting them up for failure. So if you're jealous of someone's success, it's not on that person who's successful. It's on you. What do you know about that person's life? And if you knew about what they had to go through, would it make it any different? Your attitude should be, praise God, man, that God's blessing that person. Because I know in due time, as I humble myself, God's going to raise me up. Why would you want to be someone else when you could be you? Why? Oh my God, why would you want to be in a position where you don't really need to be? There are certain things in my life God has freed me from. Why would I want to go back and be in that? Oh my God, no. Why would I want to go back in bondage when I'm free? Why would I want the pressures of that when God has made it clear that you're walking in the grace that I've given you? Just be okay with that. Okay, I'll be okay with that because God can bless me here. Number two, what is success? What is it? I got a million in the bank. That's not success. Good job. But what is success according to God's standard for your life? So some of you might be, well, I said goodbye to an old relationship and it was the best thing I ever did. Success, check mark. I can eat food now. And I'm feeling really great about myself. I've gone down 3 sizes. I'm looking good. And, you know, I'm about to be on the market again. So, you know. That's success for some people. For some people, it's, man, I said no to a temptation. I said no. And God gave me the grace. And I got out. And I feel good. I feel successful. Doesn't matter what you say. I feel great. Man, come on. I just said no. I said no to the money. But I said yes to God's purpose. And I'm telling you what, when I did that, God began to blow open doors for me. And now he's given me influence. And all of a sudden, all that stuff's being added unto me because I said no to what was easy and yes to God. I said no to $70,000 a year. I said, I'll take half because God said, this is sufficient for you. God said, I'll help you deal with a little, but be in my will. Then to give you a lot and you be tormented. Because you're outside what I've called you to do. Some of you are trying to get outside. And God's got you like a hedge around you. Hedge. He hedged you. And we're looking over at the hedge. Look at Billy's yard. You want to go and see what's going on with Billy? Billy's got problems, man. He's got money, but he's got problems. No, I heard what you don't go, more money, no problems. I heard you say, more money, no problems. Okay? That's not true all the time. If it's not. Change your mentality. It's more problems if you can't handle it and God hasn't given it to you and blessed you in the right time. It's good for you when God blesses you as you go and you can handle it. So it's not more money, more problems. It's thank you, Lord, for giving me what I need when I need it. And don't walk around with this sad, like, sourpuss on your face. Well, I don't have what I need all the time. God said, I know what you need, but I'm working on stuff deeper. Some of y'all are in this, you're in this cycle with God, like on a treadmill. Right, you're just running. You're running and running and running. As you're running, all the stuff's being shut off. Excess stuff. How you thought about yourself when you were a kid, low self-esteem, identity stuff, all that stuff's being shut off. And as you do that, God's helping you build endurance. Remember that word? Endurance, because when you get what God's called you to get, you still gotta run the race. You still gotta run it. What do you think? I got it. And you get it so you can continue to run. That's why I'm not into just dead stop, man. I'm just got to a point in my life, I'm doing nothing right now. Y'all need to be working your brain. You got to be working something. Something that should be happening in your life constantly. I'm not talking about not resting, but even that gets out of balance. Like 24 hours. I got one day a week, 24 hours I sleep. That's my Sabbath. Unhealthy. I would propose this, that if you would become more productive, you would have better self-esteem, You see more success in your life because you're about what God's called you to do. And resist in temptation to do nothing, which is idleness, which the enemy comes in and starts to twist. And you start to think things that you shouldn't think about your life. One of the biggest killers in the Christian walk is doubt. It's a killer. You got to constantly butt up against that by knowing what you know, doing what God has called you to do, and working the stuff that God has given you, because doubt will kill it. It'll kill the progress, because all it takes is one fluid thought process that goes in that is not God. And that weaves a thread in your life. And all of a sudden you're thinking about stuff that you shouldn't think about, looking over the hedge, looking at her, looking at him, looking at those things and looking at that like that's what you need. In reality, you don't need that. You need to stay in the hedge and you need to continue to move forward and do what God has called you to do, because that's where success is. You all want success. Success doesn't mean it's a free reign. It's lascivious living. It's I do whatever I want to do. That's foolish, because you can't handle everything. Am I in the parameters that God has given me? And am I working that? Or am I looking, it doesn't mean the temptation's not there, but am I okay in the parameters, because that's where success is. It's hard, but success is coming. It's there. That's where it is. That's where it is. I can't do what everybody else is doing. I got to do what God has called me to do. That's why there are lanes on a track. One of the other ways disqualification happens is getting in somebody else's lane. Because not only are you putting yourself in danger, you're putting him in danger or her. You're obstructing their view. Because it's not just about you. When you don't do what you're called to do and you don't operate in your grace space, all of a sudden now you're conflicting and now you're dealing with other people's stuff you shouldn't be dealing with. There are certain things in my life that I was in that I look back and say, how did I even land there? And it had nothing to do with God's goodness. God was good, but I fell into the trap because it looked good. But it affected everybody else, not just me. Because what you do doesn't just affect you. It affects other people. Remember, right? It affects other people. No, I do me. Yeah, well, you do you, boo. But all of a sudden, now everyone else is affected because you got addiction. Now we got to deal with all your wrath. I can handle it. You can't handle it. Success. So what am I saying? Success is doing it God's way. It's God's way. And God's going to put you before people of influence when you're ready for it. David was not perfect. We know he wasn't. But in this season of his life, God was grooming him and getting him ready to be king. He had to learn some stuff. And we know what he learned specifically. He learned how to love God. One, he understood his relationship with God was important. And two, he developed some skills. What do you do when you're waiting? Develop yourself. You have no idea when the door is going to be open, and that skill is going to be needed. That's why you don't discount what you're learning. Because you have no, all of a sudden, someone, you know, we need someone. And realize, oh my God, I did that. And the door opens, all of a sudden, now you're in. You're rewiring the White House. Because you knew how to take the flexor valve and put the XY, you know, all that stuff. You have no idea what you're learning and what you're perfecting that God wants to use. Not only could David, he was skilled with the stone, but he could play the harp too. What does it say about God that God could trust him, knowing that he was king, and that David to say, listen, not yet, but I need you to go play for the current king. Can God trust you in the waiting time, even though you know you should be there? Number two. Next question. What was your response? Can you believe they gave it to her? I know her. I saw her post. I saw everything about her. If they're not supposed to be there, God will take them out. You don't have to. It takes the responsibility off of you. There are things that God has moved in my life. People that God has moved. He has moved. It took the responsibility away from me to play God. Because that person actually served a purpose in my life, even in the times they were in my life when I knew they probably shouldn't have been there. They served a purpose because they were teaching me something. I don't want him here anymore, Lord. I don't want him. No, they're going to stay there because I'm teaching you something about submission. I'm teaching you something about commitment and love and doing your job. When it comes time, I'll move someone. Well, don't you know that you're in places right now that God says, I've got you in, so you're learning something? Because you want to get out, and God said, no. I'm going to learn. You got to learn this now. You don't learn this now. The rest of your life, it's going to be a struggle. There are certain things that God does in your life, and he does it on purpose because you need to learn it now because the next 30, 40 years, it's going to be something around your neck you're going to be able to walk with and say, you know what, all right, that helped me. Don't you think that David was in that process as he was learning to submit, as he was learning to play years later, that he would have to use some of his skills? You don't think that God does stuff early? You know the enemy does stuff early too. That's why so many of y'all are conflicted about who you are. Because he does stuff early in your life, early. Coming against you at 7 and 8, trying to figure out who you were, molested, abused, all that stuff. Still trying to figure out what happened. And line up, just coming at you early, early. Why? Because he knows if he gets you early, it's harder for God to get in because you got to go through all that thought process of, well, why did God allow that? If God was so good, early stuff, early. Dan, come on up. If you were to ask David about this process, it was really not about how he felt. Do I want to go play before a king who's tormented, who tried to kill me twice? But Lord, I'll do it because you called me to do it. And not only so, but in this process, when you read the rest of the story, Saul finally said, just go be commander over 1,000 people. We're talking about a boy who was tending sheep, called in, killed the giant, now is commander over 1,000. You don't think God can promote? And everywhere David went, God gave him success. Everywhere. Because God was with him. Is God with you in what you're doing? If he is, success. What can come against you? What can stand up against you and defeat you if God's with you? Nothing. Nothing. If God's with you, who could be against you? Nothing. But you got to believe that for yourself. It can't be that like every time I go up against something, here we go, another beating. But that's a great perspective. Another beating, it's just going to be the same thing. How do you know that God's not waiting for your response to finally stand up to him and say, enough is enough. I'm taking my thought process back. I'm taking my life back. In the name of Jesus, you will bow to me. I will see victory in my house because I am the head of my home. I will see my kids walking with the Lord, because Jesus said, if I train up a child in the way they should go, when they're old, they won't depart from it. They will walk. I will allow my kids to vent early so they understand they have a place that they can be themselves and they don't feel rejection. I will allow my kids to process through stuff so that they can understand who they are and know that they'll love regardless of what they're feeling, but also at the same time, push them to do what God has called them to do. I will allow my kids to do that, okay? I will allow myself to be in positions that I don't really like to be and that it's uncomfortable for me because I know there's growth in that. I'm gonna do some hard things. I'm gonna do it. I'm going to stand up for truth because I know that the truth sets people free. Not how I feel. The truth sets people free. I'm going to stand up against some giants because I know if my God's for me, who could be against me? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get what God has called me to get because my God is faithful. He's faithful to do what he's called me to do, and he's faithful to fulfill his promises. I'm going to do that. I want to see God's kingdom come. And his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to see that. So that means I'm going to be about God's business. Because I believe that when God does things, he doesn't do things on accident. That everything doesn't just happen. That there are positions and places that God wants me to be in in certain times. And my footsteps are ordered by the Lord. So if it's a palace, great. If it's a sheep field, great. Doesn't matter. I don't care. I'm going to do it. I'm going to say yes. When God calls me and I say, hey, listen, you know that thing you've been working on and all that weird stuff I showed you? I want you to start using that. I'm going to say yes, Lord, because I know it's coming. I already know it's coming. Got all that stuff. God said, all the doors. I'm going to start flying up. You ready to go through those? All that stuff you've been through, it's for you. Just as a reminder. Because I made you that way. Hallelujah. Let's all stand on our feet. All the stuff you've been through is for a reason. Everything. There's no mistake. Now, even your divorces, God said, I'm going to use it. It hurt. I'm still going to use it. Even the stuff you went through you didn't understand, I'm still going to use it. Because I work all things together. I got a plan. I got a purpose. I'm going to bring all that stuff back in your life. I'm going to restore some stuff that you lost. And you're going to thank me. It's only going to be me you're going to be able to thank. I'm about to bring you in front of people and places that you never thought you could go. And there are going to be things in your life that I'm going to show you that I have not showed anybody else. But it's for this time. It's for this time. Because I've raised you up for this time. This time. This season. This time in the world. This is the time I want you to be used. This is the time I've set aside for you. This is the time I want you to wield what I've given you. This is the time I want you to speak the truth. This is the time I want you to set people free. This is the time I want you to lay hands on the sick. This is the time I want you to go out. This is the time. They might be jealous of your success, but you know who gave it to you. You just make sure to give me the glory, God said. Man, I'm excited about this. I feel like God's doing it. And God's getting ready to set some people up. And you're about to be in some places that God said you probably never thought you can go. But at the same time, you're going to know who got you there. And I'm getting ready to do something that you have not seen. And it's okay to be excited about it. It's okay to be hopeful. It's okay to be joyful. It's okay to be happy. It's okay even in the midst of hardship to still rejoice, to know that I'm doing something. And I want you to feel it in your spirit, he said. If you feel it there, you'll know. Because that's where you feel it first. It's there. Then I'm going to manifest it. Lord, for every person in this room, walking in anticipation for what's about to come. Every person in this room. Every person. Lord, strengthen it for the next season. The next field. The next place. Thank you, God, that the work you started, you're going to complete. Lord, we are excited that you're getting ready to release your spirit, Lord, on the earth. We are excited about allowing us to be part of that. We thank you, Lord, that everything the enemy has done has gotten us ready and prepared for this. Lord, as you've built us, you've strengthened us, you've given us eyes to see. We know, God, that the best is yet to come. We can feel it. We can feel it. Every person, God, in this room who professes to be a Christian is walking it out. Thank you for the grace to continue to move forward. Every person. Every lie that the enemy has spoken to them. I thank you, Lord, for their ability to stand on truth. They're not a mistake. For such a time as this, they've been placed here. In Jesus' name, amen.